science fiction visuality. And I'd like to begin it with a photo. So this is Earthrise, taken in 1968 by the astronaut William Anders. And it's the site of our planet rising above the moon. I think it's a concise visual metaphor for how image and scientific imagination can, in an instant, tangibly reposition or transport us, how it can alter our perspective in an immediate bodily way. Science fiction is a mode that reimagines thinking and expression. It's not just a genre or a set of tropes. Its key operation is to transform metaphor, speculative reasoning or thinking, into something lived. My interest is in visual arts, interaction and relationship with science fiction, where it operates as more than just a cipher for what's described in literature. Too often, it's just a visual rendition of a language-based or a written idea. You see this approach a lot in the production of contemporary science fiction book covers, where the imagery relates only to the stereotypical symbols we associate with science fiction. Margaret Atwood once famously described science fiction as talking squids in outer space, and I think that's still a view that largely goes unchallenged. Consequently, you get artwork that is either a tired cliche or a heavy-handed literal interpretation of the book's subject matter. Visual art can be a rigorous critical science fiction. It can speak in the language of science fictional thinking without having to be chained to the tropes the literary form generates. As an artist and a designer, in my own work, I aim to produce something that is layered and multifaceted, yet still readable. One of my ways into creating is looking for a series of symbols, metaphors, and figurations that subsequently materialize or literalize around and as the artwork. I'm now going to present two recent projects I worked on where I applied this approach. The first is the Petrocultures International Conference. Petrocultures is a research centre and organisation that takes petroleum as the basis of capitalist reality and investigates it from that starting point. It explores the idea of oil as a massive network or object of influences and processes. I was commissioned by Rhys Williams at Glasgow University to create the materials for the 2018 Petrocultures Conference, the theme of which was transitions. Transitions is about breaking from the apparent inevitability of the oil culture status quo. So initially I wanted to create a visual identity, initially I wanted to create a visual identity based on the immediate connotations which arose for me. So blackness, destruction, machines and industrial operations beyond human scale, and uncontainable oil spillages. Following this visual thread would have led to a limited and two-dimensional presentation of the conference theme. It wouldn't be investigative, curious, or imaginative. A conference by nature doesn't present a one-note reading of its subject. It's intended to generate a field of discourses. So the next point of departure for me was the absolutely vital critical optimism of an organisation like Petrocultures as a sort of counterweight to the overarching eco-catastrophe narrative of our time. It proceeds on the basis that there are and can be alternative futures, that it is worth looking at oil in a multifaceted way from every angle of culture as well as science. Our present relationship with oil is highly complex. We understand its acquisition and its use as ethically problematic, yet it enables and sustains jobs, communities, technological marvels, and objects of great beauty. On a visceral level, oil is poisonous and toxic, but in its raw form, it's made from layers and layers of compressed organic matter, and thus contains a rich geological history beyond our conventional understanding or grasp of time. We may have a general critical outlook on oil, but Western civilization and capitalism are enmeshed in its use and its production. Our day-to-day lives are part of the petrocultural landscape, and to act as though we are not complicit or that we are somehow set apart because of our views is a delusion. In keeping with that idea, I wanted the visual graphics to relate to the textual information and not be disconnected from the content, for instance, by having a picture cordoned off by a framing device. I wanted to illustrate oil as a substance in motion, figuratively and literally. This led to the colourful slick motif, which is a graphic interpretation of the appearance of petrol on the surface of water. This slick made its way across the surfaces of the conference materials, the program, the posters, the name badges, and the t-shirts. Iridescence occurs when oil comes into contact with another substance or matter. We can read that phenomenon as an indication of contamination, as well as a visually captivating natural occurrence. I wanted to retain that ambiguity, to gesture towards the slightly ruinous presence of oil over water, but in the brightness of the colours and in the forms express a sense of change in motion, indicating the progressive brightness of the petrocultures field. The conference took place over 3 days. To extend the concept of immersion into relation, I used a different colour selected from the main oil slick to represent each separate section of the programme, as well as each day. Brent Bellamy wrote a conference report on petrocultures for Fantastica Journal in which he talked about the design. He said, "Oil has an aesthetic beauty. It also promises so much. The vibrant images of yellow, peach and aquamarine contrast with the black to draw the eye towards some future combination or dissolution of their form. These materials drew us together to think just where that future might be. The colour palette was also used within the design of the programme so that each day was expressed with a different colour. It was as if we moved through the slick. In the end, plurality was the key, seeking proliferation of meaning and interpretation rather than attempting to describe, delineate or narrate the subject matter, and in doing so, only presenting a narrow point of view. The next project I want to talk about is the London Science Fiction Research Community Annual Conference, which was held in 2018, and the theme of which was blind cognition, science fiction, and metaphysics. The theme was all about trying to unearth science fiction's histories of involvement with religion, metaphysical philosophy, mysticism, and the supernatural. When establishing the design for petrocultures, I wanted to emphasize alterity of thought by avoiding one-sided portrayals of the subject matter. The same needed to apply in this project, but via a slightly different approach. I wanted to harness a method of repositioning or creating a sense of alienation, getting far from the familiar in order to see things more clearly, engineering a sort of clarity through estrangement. This led to the idea of creating something more otherly. The conceit I came up with was to create a speculative cultural artifact that was about humans, but made from an outsider perspective. I like to imagine that this relic could be created by alien paleoanthropologists long after humanity has died out, or more optimistically, transcended to another plane, constructed by them as a way of learning more about human behaviour and culture. So this is what I arrived at. I collaborated with Morris Wilde, a self-termed Venusian carpenter, to create the Vault of Beautiful Duration. It could be thought of as a reliquary to an unknown deity, much as our planet is a vessel of life. There is an element of familiarity in that a reliquary is a recognizable religious object, but it's also intended to be mysterious at the same time. Conceptually, I wanted to think about how the natural laws of our outward material world influence our understanding of an immaterial or inner one, and in turn, how that may contour our human constructive expressions of spirituality and metaphysics. On a somatic level, we are tied to cyclical time, day and night, and to a more overarching four-season cycle, which continually repeats. More widely, this plays into the human predilection for forming binaries around experience and imagination, life and death, light and dark, fear and joy, good and evil. The two side panels, so this one and this one, represent this binarizing tendency towards duality. Specifically, they depict different receptions of the numinous, fear and awe. And whilst they can be read in terms of this dichotomy, I also intended them to invite further reading. This imagery is speculative rather than declarative, since ultimately it's a piece about mystery and also about learning. In their presentation, they wanted to establish an uncertainty of scale. In science fiction, a single piece of the genuinely new, of the other, could throw off our sense of grounding, causing us to question how we read the world. In the photographs I took, I like to think that there is some question around the size of the object. Is it miniature, like a jewellery box, or large, like a hut, or massive, like the Kaaba? This lack of clarity in reading its proportions then also extends to the notionally familiar object around it. Just how tiny or huge are these leaves and stones? What world are we in? Each of these projects provided an opportunity to investigate different approaches to image creation, whilst navigating the requirements of their context and subject matter. The estrangement and distancing method I followed with Sublime Cognition in particular feels to me like something which could help fulfill my wider pursuit of making art think science fictionally. I'd like to close with something that Brian Eno wrote in his 1996 diary. In this, he's speaking about art and popular culture, specifically televised drama, and asking why more isn't demanded from it as a form, given how widely it's disseminated and how many people engage with it. He said, "Since the most heard voices are those of art and soap opera, then a sensible policy would be to improve their quality, to dignify them by serious critical attention, that's to say, with a type of criticism which tries to ask, what is the effect of this work? A type of criticism that asks questions outside art, to require that they do better for us." I think that this can be applied to science fiction, which is too often dismissed as trivial, and the aesthetic associated with it treated in a similarly uninterested manner. Fundamentally, science fiction pluralizes meaning and experience. This is a challenge and a demand that I want to make of all visual art that inserts itself into the field of the science fictional, starting with my own. Thank you for listening.
Sorry. I just kicked you back there. Okay, Kios. Ask questions.
Fascinated by the idea that the conference material, the ephemera around the conference, becomes the site of the artwork.
Yeah.
And I wanted to know whether that's a kind of a strand of your practice that you've kind of done elsewhere, of other kind of conference materials, and yeah, to speak a little bit more about the opportunities of that.
Yeah. So I actually mostly got into doing science fictional art and design through academic research or science fiction studies. So. When I first started to be interested in it, I approached the London Science Fiction Research Community and also Fantastica Journal, because they were doing a lot of like really interesting work, but the aesthetics were kind of an afterthought, and I sort of felt like, I don't know, I think that the research that's happening around these is so important, the presentation should also match it, and it didn't seem at the time like people were thinking that much about it, so I felt like that could be an area that I could maybe like, you know, help with or develop and so on. So a lot of the work that I have done has been connected very specifically to these kind of like academic texts, and I quite like conferences in particular as a kind of, they're almost like a text in and of themselves, because they're all these self-contained spaces where people are bringing their research and having all of these discussions, and there's a lot of raw source material, not just in terms of like looking at science fictional texts, but in terms of the way that they're presenting them. And it feels like an area that's so kind of ripe for visual art to interact with it. When I did the first LSFRC conference, I didn't create any artwork for it, I just did the design. But for the second one, for Sublime Cognition, I really liked the idea of creating something original for it that was a response to the call for papers, which is how I ended up doing the reliquary for that.
Thank you.
Yeah?
Do you collaborate, for instance, with the people who run the conference or put it together? Is there a to and fro in terms of some idea?
So it's slightly different with each circumstance. So for Petra Cultures, Reese very kindly let me have free reign over what I did. So I would like to show him my ideas and my workings, and he would be like, yeah, just go for it. Like anything that you want to do, any ideas that you have, he was like very willing to take them all on board. For LSFRC, I speak a lot with the conference organisers to kind of determine whether they think that my ideas are kind of in keeping with what they're doing, and they had a lot of input. For the Sublime Cognition conference, I actually wanted to create five different like religious objects for it, and Aaron, who is one of the conference organizers, very pragmatically was like, I think you should just do one. So, which was a really good piece of advice. But they were a great resource point in the sense that they were like, you know, you should very much not be looking at kind of like Occidental religion. You should be thinking about it in terms of like wider, not just religious, but also spiritual and metaphysical context. And that really helped to like keep my perspective to a more kind of objective one, rather than one that was like really grounded in our, in like our very human Western way of thinking about religion.
Yeah, about like Western, because I honestly don't know anything about Eastern, like far Eastern science fiction. Do you like?
Yeah.
Do you see a difference between like the approach, like Western and Eastern approach to science fiction?
Yeah, I mean, there was a really interesting talk actually at the Sublime Cognition Conference by a scholar called Yen Ui, who was talking about Chinese science fiction in particular. But she was talking about it in a really interesting way, because she was saying that a lot of the tropes that you get in Western science fiction, like transformation, like bodily transformation and like transcendentalism and like life after death, are themes which actually come up a lot in Chinese folklore and like Chinese legend, and have always been a part of Chinese storytelling. So often when we talk about science fiction from other cultures, we're still looking at it from a very like, we're Westerners looking at like other science fiction or like foreign science fiction. Like normally at conferences you get a panel which is like science fiction from around the world or something like that, like as if it's just like one genre in of itself. But what was really interesting about her talk in particular was that she was saying, she actually, especially what was interesting about it in the like in this kind of time we're living in, where there's this sense of cultural appropriation, she was like, I actually want people to embrace the fact that in Western science fiction we're using concepts and ideas from Chinese storytelling, and actually just like celebrate it and embrace it and acknowledge it. You know, it shouldn't be something that's cut off, that's like we're seeing as borrowing it. We should kind of like, you know, just understand that we're using those things and really just like push them in the work. And I think that the same probably goes across a lot of different cultures. Like there is, you know, science fiction is bound up with magic and folklore and, you know, all of these kind of ideas that are beyond our like everyday lived experience. And I think that those exist in all different cultures, and they all kind of creep into any kind of fiction that is speculative or weird. And I think knowing more about those cultures and kind of appreciating them a bit more, then we'll begin to see them more in the work itself.
Thank you.